Pray with me. God, please open up our ears and our hearts as we hear your word this morning. Help us be moved and inspired by what it has to say. May each of us hear and take from this word what you would have us hear and take from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Continuing with our study of the book of Philippians, and today we're in chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Hear now God's word. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but instead emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, Christ humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's a man named Cameron Lyle who, when he was in his late teens, early 20s, and was having his blood drawn for a donation, had the opportunity to check the box that he would like to be added to the National Bone Marrow Registry. And he had been told there was something like a 1 in 5 million chance that he would be matched with someone that was a complete stranger. And he thought it would be a nice thing to do, so he checked yes. And then when he was 21 years old, he was at the University of New Hampshire. He was living his life in college and was also a track and field superstar doing shot put. And he got the message that he was a match for someone, a complete stranger. And so he was excited about this opportunity to help someone prolong their life. And the more he got into it, the more he realized that this would end his career as a shot putter, because the surgery was right around the same time as the final championship, and the weight-bearing load of a shot put would not support the stress of the hip that would have gone through this procedure to be a bone marrow donor. And so he wanted to do it, and he was happy to do it, but he was worried about what his coach would say, because he thought, well, I'm letting the team down, and I don't know what to do. And so this is what the coach said. He said, you go to the conference, and you take 12 throws, or you could give a man 3 or 4 more years of life. I don't think there's a big question here. This is not a moral dilemma. There's only one answer. The coach was right. There was only one answer in that scenario. The idea of being able to sacrifice for somebody else, even a complete stranger, is an honor, and it's a gift. So for 4 weeks, beginning last week, we're taking a look at the Christian life, Christian living, through the book of Philippians. Last week, we talked about what it means to live a life of love and partnership. Today, we're talking about living in unity. As we said to the children and the young people, what does it mean to be of one mind even though we are individuals? Next week, we'll talk about living with purpose, and then we'll end the series by talking about living with gratitude. So today we're talking about living with unity. As we go through the Christian life together as a community, who are we? For better or for worse, we are a part of a community. Take a look around. No, really, take a look around. Look around you. Who are these people that God has put together? How are we called to live together? Most of us here are part of a community that has gathered together for some period of time. Of course, we have some visitors and guests who are just with us for this week or maybe a few weeks. But for the most part, this is a community that God has called together. Are these people that you would ordinarily have picked out to be as part of your community? Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe some of the people that we sit next to are not people that we would have come into contact with at the store or in our normal places of work. But for some reason, some holy reason, God has brought us together. So how do we live? How do we guide our decision-making together? I think we could spend a long time answering that question. But the one sort of concept that I want us to draw our attention to this morning is a concept called kenosis. So everybody say kenosis with me. Kenosis. Kenosis. You say kenosis, and then you hear somebody say that, and you might want to say bless you. Kenosis. Bless you. Well, what is kenosis? Well, it's the... Hang on. Making sure that you're all awake. But... I like to call this my Madonna mic. Am I coming through this one, or should I just use this one? Here? Am I good here? Okay. So this phrase, this idea of kenosis, it's not something that you say when you sneeze. It's the idea of emptying oneself. I might have to just do this today. So kenosis is the idea of a life that is emptied and poured out on behalf of somebody else. It's a self-emptying life. So what is a self-emptying life? That story that I shared at the beginning about the track and field star who had the opportunity to give of himself through the opportunity of giving a bone marrow donation is one example. But what does it mean for us in our daily life to let go of what I want and what I need in order to be a part of a larger whole? I think that part of Christian living and the Christian life is fundamentally wrapped around this idea that we sometimes have to let go of what we individually want in the service of a larger picture. I've been thinking about this part of Christian community so much over the last few weeks as I've been getting to know all of you. It's been such an amazing privilege to hear stories about how God's Spirit has worked in this place for decades and how it continues to work as we dream about how God's Spirit will continue to move and to breathe. I have to admit, I have felt a little bit sometimes like I have big shoes to fill. Your previous pastor, Cliff, sounds like an amazing man, larger than life. And Debbie, I had the privilege and the honor to meet her. I know how gifted she is. I shared some of my fears this week with my husband about how I worry about these big shoes that I have to fill following two gifted and amazing pastors. My husband said, "You need to get over yourself." Ah, yes, the gift of a truth-telling spouse. It occurred to me that this advice given to me, "Get over yourself," is great advice for Philippians chapter 3. Kenosis sounds fancy, but really what it is get over yourself. Make yourself less so that Christ can become more. My very beginning of my ministry journey was when I was a youth director in Glen Ellen for 2 years. And there I had the opportunity to work with a pastor named Doug Learned. He was there while I was there. And I always tell people that if I had worked with a pastor who didn't love his work as much as Doug did, I wouldn't be a pastor. So I had the privilege and the honor to be working with someone who loved his work. And he told me this story one time about his first call and how on his first Sunday, in his first call, a woman came up to him. She was in her late 80s, early 90s. She had a cane. The way he tells the story, I don't know if it's true. But the way he tells the story, she took the cane, lifted it up, and put it in his chest and said, "Listen, Doug, I was here before you got here, and I'll be here after you leave." And he says, she was, too. That is what it means to be dedicated to the church and committed to community through thick and through thin. When we do that, when we have that sense of commitment to a community, we're less likely to be swayed by what personally suits us. If things aren't going exactly the way we wish that they would go, we're likely to stick it out, to stay with it, to hang tough together. We're not as likely to just move on and to join in with this sort of consumeristic attitude that whatever suits me at the time is what I should do. Don't misunderstand. Each of us in this place is a valued individual. But when we start to let our place in the community be defined by what we're getting out of it, rather than the other way around, well, then we're not living into what Philippians 2 has to say to us. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, the text says, but to the interests of others as well. Remember that athlete in the beginning of the message. I never found out what happened to him after that, but I feel pretty confident in saying that even though we don't know, I'm guessing that his life turned out to be more shaped by that sacrifice that he made on behalf of the other than it ever would have had he stayed in the competition. But then there's a plot twist here. Are you ready? Listen up. The plot twist is this. Philippians 2 isn't really even about us. It's about Christ. The point is that we are following a Christ who is self-emptying. And since Christ is God, our God is like this. Our God is a self-emptying God, kenosis. The miracle of the Christian faith is that God becomes nothing in Jesus Christ. God becomes a tiny baby. God has no ego. God is not in it to win it. God is selfless, humble, small. Our God is a servant. So when we step aside and make room for the least, for the smallest, we are imitating God. When we give of ourselves in sacrifice, we are imitating God. When we share and sacrifice and look out for one another, we are imitating God. When we as individuals are able to look not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others, we are able to create something beautiful. As our students and young people are working together, you're starting to see, and they're going to continue to work on it, the image of a tree that's connected. Each panel is different, but as it works together for one complete whole, we're able to see what it means to be one united community. How will we, as Elmhurst Presbyterian Church, zoom out, as it were, to take a look at the larger whole? I don't know the answer to this per se. I think it's something that we figure out together. But I do have a suspicion that it has something to do with this idea of kenosis, of pouring oneself out for another, just as Christ did for us. This is the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Amen.